The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 776, Irresistible Andy. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers. We've got a lot of great new stuff. We've got Gilligan's stuff even, the Gilligan's long sleeve t-shirts. That's right, you can get a red one or a black one. Oh, it's really cool. If you'll remember, Bob Denver Gilligan was on the Andy Griffith Show as Dud. And his wife designed these, so go and check them out. They'll be a lot of fun to wear. And if you're wanting the Mayberry stuff, there's some classic Mayberry flag t-shirts, both in long and short sleeves. And you might want to check out Mom, Dad, and Me and Classic TV by Peter Ackerman. Folks, head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Our executive producer of episode number 776 is the attendees from the Mayberry Meetup 2023. And our Patreon patron of the week is Billy Lennox. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And as always, it's great to be in Mayberry and just talk about the Andy Griffith Show and just enjoy ourselves for a while right here in Mayberry. I hope you're going to enjoy it. We're going to be talking about an episode of the Andy Griffith Show. We're up to Irresistible Andy. This year, I've been kind of trying to hit each episode and go through them, beginning with episode number one and heading through them. So hopefully you're going to enjoy this. We got some trivia. I got a special guest coming up in the middle of the show. So don't run off and leave me, and we'll do the trivia after that. So let's go into hearing a little bit about this particular episode. I'm going to get some background music playing here. There we go. From the VW Boys. Thank you to Tim White for allowing us to play this music. Folks, this is about Irresistible Andy. Now, you guys definitely remember this episode. Where all of us have watched them all too many times to not remember the episodes, I think. But on this particular episode, let me just give you a short summary. Andy gets himself in a big jam, first time really on the show with the opposite sex, that he gets into just trouble when he wrongly assumes that Miss Ellie is out to trap herself a husband. And Andy tries to foil her plot when he sends other eligible Mayberry bachelors her way. Anyway, but Opie helps her uncover Andy's scheme, and we all go from there. So that's just a general overview of Irresistible Andy. Now, this is the seventh episode filmed and the fifth episode aired. And it originally aired on October the 31st, 1960. The writer is David Adler, and the director is Don Weiss. So that just gives you a little bit of background on this. We talked about it before, and we'll be talking about it a little bit later in the episode, but filmed versus aired order. We're doing them in the order they were filmed, just because that's how I've listed them on the Mayberry.info website. But we're going to go there and go through it that direction, which gets them out of order, really. So, and we'll talk about that later in the episode, too. But this is how we're going to go through them. So anyway, this is the fifth episode aired, but it's the seventh one filmed. So this one was filmed after or before, you know, it was filmed out of order, All right. So let's get into the plot here, really. So basically, Ellie accepts an invitation from Andy to go to the church picnic and dance. And Andy, talking to Aunt B, becomes convinced that Ellie is out to trap herself a husband. You know, you remember to get married. Well, Aunt B asks him how he asked Ellie to the dance, and he becomes convinced that Ellie was trying to set him up for marriage. Well, Andy believes the best way to get out of the, you know, getting married. Because if you'll remember, Fred and Andy were talking and said, and he said, well, why is one of these young boys around here, why are they not asking her out to come to the, to go and think? And he said, well, you're not sniffing around too much yourself either, you know. So, but basically Andy begins to believe that the best way to throw her off the scent, to thwart a desperate female hunter, is to put her on the scent of other game. So he ends up telling Opie that as well. Now, that was his downfall right away, right? He mentioned it to Opie. And what did Opie do? He went over and told Miss Ellie, told her all about it, putting her on the scent of different, of other game. Well, before that had happened, before Opie went over there, you'll remember that all these gentlemen that Andy had talked to out on the street headed over and went to court Miss Ellie. So he had them show up and batting their eyelashes, you know, and you had them wiggling their nose or just flexing their muscles. They were all over the place doing this stuff. Because Andy had convinced these young bachelors that Ellie was interested in him for those different reasons. He sent them over to court her in the hope of shifting her affections to somebody other than himself. Of course, Opie, like I said, had told the whole scheme to Miss Ellie, and Miss Ellie ends up confronting Andy about the whole situation of all these twitching people. Because after they're all flexing their muscles and wiggling their nose and batting their eyelashes, Fred comes out from the back. Fred, her uncle, comes out from the back and is going, what is going on here? And the boys all leave. They all head off and leave. But, you know, she finds out from Opie what's going on. And so then she begins to confront Andy, all the while acting like, oh, lover, sheriff, and all this kind of stuff. I can't remember what else she was saying exactly. But she's convincing him of all this stuff while she is fixing him a drink, a soda, with putting castor oil and powdered mustard and milk of magnesia all in the drink, and tells Andy off. That's basically what she does. And she insists that she'll go to the picnic with the first eligible bachelor who walks through those doors, and it just happens to be Barney. And of course, we know kind of what happens from there. Barney ends up, he's going to Miss Ellie. Andy ends up convincing Barney that, you know, somebody else is going to get credit for catching the pickpockets. And so then Barney calls Miss Ellie, tells her, hey, I can't go. And he even mentions about the pickpockets to her, and she's confused, talking on the phone. Then Andy shows up at her house and, you know, makes up with her, and ends up, she already had a date, and it was with Opie. And anyway, he ends up getting to escort Opie and Miss Ellie to the dance. Now, it wraps up, if you don't remember, Ellie meets Andy the next day or something outside the pharmacy, and she says, hey, Andy, I need some help with something. And she gets Andy to come into the pharmacy, and there are all those suitors again, standing over by the counter, flexing and blinking their eyes and wiggling their nose. And Andy had said, it's nice of you saying I had a nice smile before they came into the pharmacy. So he goes over there and squeezes in between them, and he starts smiling big, making his teeth show good. And that's how the show actually ends. But what a great episode for the Andy Griffith Show. Wow. So if you haven't seen it, I don't know how you hadn't seen it, but make sure you go off there and watch an episode or something. See the show. Don't want you to miss out. That's pretty cool. All right, so we have some odd facts known by a few about this episode, right? So this is the only episode, get this, I did not realize that, but this is the only episode where both Ellie and her Uncle Fred appear together. Yeah, so that's amazing. So Ellie appears in most episodes without Fred, and Fred appeared in one episode without Ellie, and that was Those Gossiping Men. So those are the only times you see Fred One time by himself there, and this is the only time you see him with Ellie. And then basically we don't see Fred anymore. So Fred disappeared. So we find out in this episode that the city of Mayberry has at least four different kinds of dances. They have a Legion dance. They have a Chamber of Commerce dance. They have the Uplifters dance. And then the church picnic and dance. So that's what they happen. In this episode, Andy calls. Now, this is something I had to look up because I didn't know about this. But he actually calls Barney. He says to him when Barney comes all dressed up and everything, he says, you are the Adolf Menjou of Mayberry. Now, I didn't know who this was. But if you look him up and find out, this is what he is. So Adolf Menjou was a voted best dressed man in America 9 times. 9 times. Now he was definitely a big silent film actor and worked all the way into talking films. But he was an actor that had been in many things, but he was voted best dressed man in America 9 times. So that's what Barney, that's when Andy was referencing. You're the Adolf Menjou of Mayberry. That's what he was talking about. Now, you may not have known that. I never even caught that line until I was looking this stuff up. So there you go. Let's see. Barney mentions that he has been the deputy for a year and a half at this point. So there's some errors here. So that's what he mentions. He's been a deputy for a year and a half. But when he gets his watch on the episode Barney's Physical in season 5, episode 2, it's engraved with 5. So he'd been working for 5 years. So he's already been in there for a year and a half. And then four seasons later, it's only 5 years. It's TV time. But it was engraved 5. Then on the episode Goodbye Sheriff Taylor, which was in season 5, episode 10, Andy says that he's been the sheriff for 12 years. Okay. The only real continuity problem was the episode Citizen's Arrest, season 4, episode 11, when Barney says that he's been in for 10 years. So he's been a deputy for 10 years in season 4. And then in season 5, he's only been there for 5 years. So I don't know how they messed up that kind of stuff, but they didn't pay as much attention to those kind of things back in these days. I'm sorry, guys. We're talking like the Andy Griffith Show is not a real place. It's a TV show. I'm sorry. But I hope that stuff doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother me, but I do think it's very interesting that these things happen where they get the timelines mixed up. They didn't have a series Bible like they would nowadays, I guess. All right. Since Barney is going to the dance with Ellie, Andy mentions swearing in Mayberry and Jeff Pritchard. Now, if you remember that, he talks about that. He was going to have him be a temporary deputy to help Andy in directing traffic and keeping law and order at the event. Now, I don't think we ever saw Jeff Pritchard. We never saw him. But if that's who, I don't think Barney wanted him to try to get the pickpockets and all those kind of things either. I think that was probably who it was. Let's see. Andy says that Jim Summers always wins the sack race at the Mayberry picnic and dance, the church picnic and dance. Jim runs a meat market, by the way, but in the series, we never see him. We never meet him. Maybe Jim Summers, maybe that's Diamond Jim. I don't know. I don't know. But we never meet him, but he does run the meat market there in town, I suppose, a meat market. So he must be a competitor of Mr. Foley, but we never met him. Ellie lives in the first house on the street that it's one Andy lives on, basically. It's the same house, and she lives there. Now, we've seen this house in other episodes, I think, already. We've kind of talked about this, but it's called Facade Number 1, and it was on the back lot at 40 Acres. And if you look, when she opens her door... Yeah, that was filmed, I believe that was filmed on the back lot. I can't tell. I believe this is really looking out the door of that actual house. And you can see the church and the car and all kinds of stuff out there when Andy and Opie are waiting on her. So this was the facade number one, is what they called it, on the street that Andy's house was on. So Andy and Helen and Ellie and Emma, they all lived in this right there together. But we weren't supposed to notice that. So anyway, there you go. So let's see. So actor Robert Easton, who played Pete Johnson. Now, Pete Johnson was the one with the big old eyelashes. It just wave in the air, that one. So Robert Easton was his real name. He was a dialect and accent coach early in his career. So as an actor, he was an actor, but he had been a dialect coach and an accent coach during his career. Just a little bit of trivia for you. And lastly, the last thing I have that's an odd fact known by a few is this was the first time that we saw Barney in his salt and pepper suit. This was the first time we actually saw him in the salt and pepper suit. Now, remember, we're going through filmed order. There is a possibility that in the aired order, things were slightly different, but this should have been the very first time we ever saw Barney in his salt and pepper suit. One other little note, during this episode, I don't have a picture of anything of this, but the painting is seen on the wall to the left of the Taylor's dining table. There's a photo hang or artwork hanging on the wall there. It's called the Angelus, 1859, by French artist Jean Francisco Millet. I don't know how you say his name. It's French. This artwork will eventually occupy the space above the fireplace in the living room. But for now, there's a deer head there in that position. So there's something else to kind of be watching for during the episodes. So I hope you enjoyed that little bit of rundown report from Irresistible Andy. Now, folks, we have something very special for you, something you hadn't heard for a while, and something I think you're really going to enjoy. So let's head on over and let you hear it. So let's go for it.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Hello, my Mayberry family. This is Randy Turner. Alan has been going over some of the episodes recently in the order they were filmed versus the order they were aired. And when you watch them in that order, it can cause some inconsistencies. I addressed one of those in my book, Mayberry Firsts. If you're not familiar with the book, it is not simply a listing of the first time something happened. I always do list the first time something occurred, but then I use that as a springboard to talk in more detail, just as an interesting way to look at the series instead of just being a straightforward, here's a book about the Andy Griffith Show. So in Mayberry First, I have a chapter called When Was the License Plate on the Mayberry Squad Car First Seen Clearly? And again, this kind of illustrates the inconsistencies that can occur when you look at the order they were filmed versus the order they were aired. So it reads, the squad car was not seen in full in the first episode when Aunt Bee came to live with Andy and Opie. Only part of it was seen as Andy was waxing the car. In the second episode, Manhunt, first broadcast on October the 10th, 1960, when Barney comes to the lake where Andy and Opie have been fishing to tell them the big, really big news that the state police are coming, the license plate is seen in full. The plate number is the familiar JL327, which was seen for the bulk of the series. However, the next time the Mayberry squad car is seen, the license plate is changed. In the fourth episode of the series, Ellie Comes to Town, when Barney drops Andy and Aunt Bee off at Walker's drugstore and they're surprised that it's closed, the squad car plate is now DC269. That plate number had actually been seen before. Two episodes earlier in Manhunt, the same episode when the regular Mayberry squad car plates were first clearly seen, the DC-269 plate was on the lead car in the procession of state police vehicles when they arrived in front of the courthouse. The Mayberry squad car plate is next seen two episodes later in Runaway Kid, though only fleetingly. When Opie and his friends push the squad car in front of a fire hydrant, just as one camera shot dissolves into another, the plate can be seen to have returned back to JL327. But in the next three episodes, Andy the Matchmaker, Opie's Charity, and A Feud is a Feud, the plate switches again to DC269. The squad car plate is not seen again until episode 11, Christmas Story, at which point it returns permanently to the original JL327, staying the same the rest of the series. It is interesting to note that while the plate appears to the audience to switch back and forth several times with no explanation, it actually did so only once. To viewers, it appears the plate changes to DC-269 for the single episode of Ellie Comes to Town, then changes back to JL-327 and Runaway Kid, and then back again to DC-269 again for several episodes beginning with Andy the Matchmaker. This appearance is actually the result of Ellie Comes to Town being shown in a different order than it had been filmed. While it aired as the fourth episode, it was actually the sixth episode filmed. Once again, the plates returned permanently to the original JL-327 and Christmas Story. But it did not mean that the DC-269 plates were never to be seen again. During the first half of Season 2, the DC-269 license plates were seen on State Attorney Bob Rogers' car, on Handyman Henry Wheeler's truck, on the Esquire Club member Roger Courtney's convertible, and on Joe Waters' illegally parked car. By the way, both DC-269 and JL-327 license plates could be seen hanging as part of a collection of license plates in the front room of Goober's Garage in the second season of Mayberry RFD. All right, gang, take care. Great to visit with you again, and hopefully I'll be able to get back on track and get some This Week in Mayberry segments done soon. Take care.
Well, thank you, Randy. If you want to get in touch with Randy, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. Tell him how much you appreciate him doing the shows, and it's great to have him back, even if it's for a week in a row. Thank you, Randy. And I hope that helps you. That's a lot of information about the tag numbers and a little bit about the, that's what I was talking about, that there's going to be a little information about the aired versus filmed order of the episodes. So I hope you've enjoyed that. I enjoyed hearing from Randy. It was great for me to hear from him. And now we just got to get him and Spirit Walker back in the circle. I told Randy they'll enjoy hearing from you because they hear from me all the time. So they're going to enjoy it. All right, guys. Now it is time for some trivia. Yeah, we got trivia time. So everybody get out their pencils. And this week's trivia is about birthdays. It's birthdays. All right. We got five questions. Five questions for you about birthdays. All right. You guys ready? Here we go. Question number one. Andy wanted to have a party in the courthouse for whose birthday? Andy wanted to have a party in the courthouse for whose birthday? Whose birthday? Andy wanted to have a party in the courthouse for whose birthday? The answer, you can pause if you don't want to hear it. It was Otis. He wanted to have a party for Otis's birthday in the courthouse. All right. Number six. Well, it's actually number six because we did the first four questions last week. But it's number two today. Number two. Who hired Opie's rock band, his rock band, to play at their daughter's birthday party? Boy, that sounds a hard one. Who hired Opie's rock band to play at their daughter's birthday party? Anybody got anything on that one? Oh, that one sounds like a little bit tough. I don't know. Who hired Opie's band to play at their daughter's birthday party? The answer is Mrs. Roach. Mrs. Roach. There you go. All right. So how you doing? Did you get both of those? Are you getting close? Or how are things going? don't know. You know, I want to see if you guys are, how are you doing? How's it going? All right. Number three. Calm down. If you didn't get those two, here you go. Number three. Remember, their birthdays related. Who in Mayberry has a birthday that coincides with a holiday? You want a hint? It's St. Patrick's Day, by the way. Who in Mayberry has a birthday that coincides with a holiday? And the hint is St. Patrick's Day is the birthday. Who in Mayberry? Let's see if our folks in the chat room are getting these. So if you don't know, our chat room, we have a group of people live with us in our main chat room at live.twochairsnowaiting.com on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time when I record. And also folks over on YouTube as well and Facebook. So hang out with us on Monday nights if you'd like to. All right, I don't see very many people getting it, but here's the answer. Who in Mayberry has a birthday that coincides with a holiday? The holiday happens to be St. Patrick's Day. The answer is Aunt B. Aunt B, her birthday is March 17th. I saw at least one in the chat room that had it right, but they had a question mark by their name. But good job. Good job with that. All right. Number, what are we on? One, two, three, four. Number four. In addition to a fur piece, what other birthday gift did Barney buy from Newton Monroe for Thelma Lou? In addition to a fur piece, what other birthday gift did Barney buy from Newton Monroe for Thelma Lou? His hair coming out a little at a time or in bunches? Bunches, bunches. All right. Come on, y'all got this one, I'm sure. Yeah, chat room is getting it, I see. In addition to a fur piece, what other birthday gift did Barney buy from Newton Monroe for Thelma Lou? The answer is a pineapple skinner. He got her a pineapple skinner. Barney is such a practical person. Practical. So he got her a pineapple skinner. I saw some folks in the chat room getting that right. Good job, folks in the chat room. Hope you got it too. Hope you did. All right, and our last question, last trivia for this week. Now I want to thank Paul Mulick again for the trivia questions. Thank you, Paul. Here's our question number five. Where did Opie get the electric razor that he gave Andy for his birth as a birthday gift? This one you got. You got to get this one right. You got to get this one. Where did Opie get the electric razor that he gave Andy as a birthday gift? Okay. Where did Opie get the electric razor that he gave Andy as a birthday gift? Miss Crumbs, anything wrong with my eyes? You're a teacher. All right. The answer, that didn't help you, was at the Carnival Shooting Gallery. Carnival Shooting Gallery. That's where it was. That's where it was. He got it there. Goober's wanting to know, you a teacher. How's my eyes? All right, guys, how did you do? So that was five questions. You had 5 points, I suppose. So how did you do? Thanks again to Paul Mulick for these wonderful questions. This is he's sending me in. We got several more still coming up from Paul, and I want to thank him for that. Because this is a lot of fun. I really enjoy this, and it's fun, fun questions. Fun, 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 fun. All right, guys, that is all I really have for you tonight, I believe. I'm looking here to make sure I'm not forgetting to tell you anything. Other than it has been announced that the 12th annual Mayberry Meetup in Mount Airy, North Carolina, sponsored by this here podcast, will be starting. It's coming up on the 19th through the 20th of July, 2024. Information is in our show notes about how to get to it, but you can go to, this is probably the easiest way to go there. You can go to, it's http://, you know, that kind of stuff. It's tinyurl.com/Mayberry Meetup 2024. Oh, that's hard to remember. It'll be in our show notes. tinyurl.com/Mayberry Meetup, all smashed together, 2024. All smashed together right there. Mayberry Meetup 2024. So you can go and sign up. It'll actually take you to a page that is a Google Doc that has all kinds of information about what's going on. It's got our official t-shirt design on there for this year. Everything is there, and there's a link that'll take you to the sign-up page. It says register for the Mayberry Meetup. If you'd like to come, it doesn't cost anything. It's no expense to it, but it's definitely something that I'd like to get you signing up for it so that I kind of have an idea who's going to be there. Plus, it allows me to get you signed up for a text message thing so that I can tell you if there's any changes in events, because everything's outside. Well, most everything. And if it rains or anything, we try to figure out, okay, here's what we're going to do. But usually we make it through pretty well, but it's nice for me to be able to communicate out to everybody. But the schedule is published in that particular document that you're going to see. So it's there. So don't, please, 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 during the meetup, just look at this schedule and it'll kind of tell you what's going on. And unless things change, this is the schedule. So don't text me and ask me what time stuff is. I can't text everybody. Last time we had a bunch of people. So it's a lot of fun. So yeah, just go and register. I think the registration is pretty easy. It's basically just how many people are coming and what's your email address and that kind of stuff. And so we can stay in touch. Guys, that is all I got. And if you look behind me, if you're watching the video version, we have our new, what is it? A flag, I guess, for the Mayberry Meetup 12. This is our 12th year, 12th annual, hanging on the wall or behind me. So, and that's the same design as the t-shirts and stuff. So I bought a t-shirt, about the flag, about a magnet. So I've got all kinds of fun stuff. So that's my last thing to tell you about for this evening. So I hope that was useful. There's all kinds of Mayberry events coming up. Go and check out the event calendar at imayberry.com for all the information. This information is there as well. And definitely something that you should check out, because there may be something in your area that you'd like to be a part of. So definitely go and check that out. Well, guys, that is what I have. And I hope you have enjoyed yourself. I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Or just drop by over at twochairsnowaiting.com, and you can find our show notes that we're just talking about with the links to the signups for the meetup and links to the information about the episodes, which are found over on imayberry.info. There's all kinds of stuff in our show notes, so go and check those out as well. All the past episodes of Two Chairs No Waiting can be found right there on twochairsnowaiting.com. Folks, thanks for being here with me. Thanks for spending time talking with me about the Andy Griffith Show. And we will see you next week right here on Two Chairs.